What is the worst that you have ever been persecuted or mistreated because of your faith? Now, consider that for a few moments. I know that most people that I've spoken with have mentioned times before where they felt like they had been persecuted or mistreated because of their faith. Now, as you consider that particular time when you felt persecuted or mistreated, how did you respond in that situation? Did you respond well? Did you, in hindsight, did you look back and say, you know, maybe I could have done a better job in the way that I responded to this? Well, grab your Bible. In just a few minutes, we're going to be looking at Daniel in the lion's den out of Daniel chapter 6, and we're going to look at how Daniel reacted when he was persecuted for his faith. Grab that Bible and come on back. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church of Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We trust and pray that your year is off and going well, and we're so grateful that you have decided to join us for our Bible study on this Wednesday evening. As I mentioned just a few moments ago, we're going to be looking at passages that come out of the Old Testament book of Daniel chapter 6. So if you've got your Bible, please go ahead and turn on over there with us so that you can be with us on that page. Now, we're actually going to look at there's 28 verses in chapter 6. We're going to look at all those 28 verses so it keeps the story together. So, bear with me as we go through our passages today. It's going to be quite a few verses, but if you'll follow along with me, Daniel chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. It said, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom, and over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one, and the satraps might give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm." Verse 4, "So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then these men said, 'We shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God.'" Verse 6, "So the governors and satraps thronged before the king and said to him, 'King Darius, live forever.' And the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and the satraps, the counselors and advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter.' Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree." Verse 10, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before God, as was his custom since early days. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. 'Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?' And the king answered and said, 'The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter.'" Verse 13, "So they answered and said before the king that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, 'Know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and Persians that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed.' So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you." Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. Verse 18, "Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him. Also his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went down in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, 'Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?'" Verse 21, "Then Daniel said to the king, 'O king, live forever. My God, his angel, has shut the lion's mouth so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you.' Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him, because he believed in God. Verse 24, "The king gave the command, and they brought those men who accused Daniel and cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives, and the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones into pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote to all the people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, 'Peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. Who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lion?" So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you today, we're grateful and thankful for your word. Lord, we're grateful and thankful for examples such as we read about in Daniel, when it comes down to being strong in our faith, when it comes down to persecutions that your people, Christian people, will face. Lord, even today we face some persecutions, not like many around the world, but Father, we face some persecutions. The question is, will we remain strong? Lord, will we rely on the fact that you will deliver us, because you are our God? Lord, I pray that you will help us as we take a look into your word today, as we study it. May you speak to each and every heart of each and every listener. And Lord, be with this, your servant, for these moments that we endeavor your word, as I attempt to be your mouthpiece, your voice in the heart and in the minds of the people who will listen today. And Lord, we'll praise you for it. Lord, we ask that you just draw all men unto you through this time. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, when we look at this particular situation with Daniel, we find out that Daniel was one of those folks who had to take a stand for his belief in God. Now, in our story today, Daniel was cast into a den of hungry lions because he refused to stop praying to his God. Now, when we look at this circumstance and situation, often there's some sort of jealousy or something, that some ought that somebody has against somebody else. It's the same in our lives today. This was true in the days of Daniel. There were those who were jealous of him because of what he did. So what they did was they purposefully sought to find a way to trip him up. And the word tells us that as they looked, you know, as they went about trying to find a way to accuse Daniel, the word tells us there was no way, there was no fault that was found in him. And then they finally decided, if we're going to find something against him, it's going to have to be against his God. And of course, what they did was they devised the plan to have the king put forth an order saying that you know, for the next 30 days, if anybody prays to or honors anybody other than you, O King Darius, then essentially they will die. That was what the order was. And then, of course, you know, Darius, for whatever reasons, thought, well, okay, that's a good idea. That's what we'll do. We'll put that decree in order. And they also made sure that they put the explanation point at the end of it, because they said, we want this to go along with the rules of the Medes and the Persians. Now, what that basically meant and said was the fact that, you know, once you put this decree out, king, it cannot be changed. Yet they knew that the king had high thoughts of Daniel himself. So they were trying to make it, and essentially even put the king into a position where he couldn't go back against his ruling. Yeah, and as you can see, they were sure to point that out to him on several occasions through our scripture today. Now, the high officials of Persia were seeking to find some sort of grounds for complaint against Daniel in verses 1 through 4. And they couldn't really find a complaint. Verse 5 tells us the only complaint that they could find against him. Look with me, if you would, in your scripture at verse 5. It says, then these men said, we shall not find any charge against Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. So they looked, they said, well, yeah, this guy is a straight shooter. He walks the walk, he talks the talk. There's no real fault to be found in him. He's not doing anything against the governing rules. So, you know, they had to come up with a way to make him violate some rule by which they could catch him in. And they said, the only way we're going to do that is to find something against him concerning the God that he worships. Now, I want to point out something. That tells us a lot about Daniel, and it tells us a lot about his character at that particular point. You know, Daniel was that guy who everybody around him saw that not only did he talk the talk, but that he walked the walk. There was no doubt who Daniel served. These men, the ones that were coming up with these accusations against him, even they knew that. Even they were the ones who said, you know, we're not going to find anything to find fault in Daniel for unless we find it concerning the God that he serves. Now, the high officials of Persia made a request of King Darius to set up this trap for Daniel. We find that in our text in verses 6 and 7, where it says this, so these governors and satraps, those are the ones that were against Daniel, thronged before the king and said to him, King Darius, live forever. I can almost picture that scene in my mind. And then in verse 7, here's what they said. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and the satraps and counselors and advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. And that's where the decree came from. They essentially said, this is a decree that we came up with. We think this is good for you to do, king. How about just writing that into a law? So in verse 8, it says that they continued. They said, now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so it cannot be changed. In other words, they knew that the king, you know, had fond thoughts of Daniel. And they also knew that if they didn't set this trap properly, then what would happen would be that the king would just say, oh, well, we're not going to do that. I like Daniel. We're not going to throw him into the lion's den. So they came up with this other little caveat that went along with the law. And it's in verse 8. It says, now, O king, establish a decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. And therefore, verse 9, King Darius signed the written decree. So they even made sure that he couldn't go back even though he wanted to. And as we see in our text, yeah, King Darius did not want to put Daniel in the lion's den. He was trying to find a way out of it, but yet these supposedly wise men were wise in their wrongdoing, set it up so that that was not going to be possible for the king to go back against the law or the rule that he had established and put down. And they just did it for a short period of time. They just said 30 days because they said, well, we know Daniel, 30 days will be plenty of time for us to be able to catch him violating this particular rule or law. Yeah, so when you think about it, this speaks very highly of who Daniel is and how people looked at him and the God that he served. So we see that King Darius responded to the request by simply signing into law under the governance of the Medes and the Persians this rule that could not be changed. Now, you know, why do you think that unbelievers seem to delight in seeing godly people fall? Have you thought about that? I mean, you've seen it. You've probably experienced it in your own life. When somebody that's godly is taken in a fall, it just seems like that is to the delight of the people who are ungodly. It almost makes them want to cheer when they see somebody that's a godly person that slips, trips, or falls, as it were. You know, I still have said this many, many times. If you've been around Central Baptist Church very much in your life, you've heard me say this on multiple occasions, and I'm going to say it again. I believe with all my heart that God has a dastardly distaste in his mouth for anybody who orchestrates or manipulates the demise of somebody else. God just does, he flat out doesn't care for that. That's not what love is. That's not what love is about. You know, that's not what we should be doing to one another. And yet, that's what we do. And those who are unbelievers seem to delight when a Christian person is taken in a fall. Now, when Daniel heard that the king had signed this ruling against prayer, that's basically what it was. When Daniel knew that the king had signed that ruling against prayer, how did he respond to that? Now, remember when we opened up our Bible study, I asked you if you could remember a time of persecution in your life. And then I followed that question up with another question. The question was, how did you respond? Now, when we put ourselves in the position of our text, if we put ourselves in Daniel's position, all of a sudden he hears that this ruling has been signed that is essentially a ruling against prayer. All right, you can't pray. At least for the next 30 days, you cannot honor anybody except King Darius. Now, I want to go ahead and go on record as to saying something. You know, we've talked many times about what the Bible teaches concerning submission to authority and government. And as believers, we are supposed to follow the authority of our government. Now, there is a caveat that goes along with that as well. We're supposed to follow the rules and governance of our government until it violates God's ruling or God's governance. Now, this would be a ruling that would violate what God has to say. So what did Daniel do? Daniel wasn't just a rebel. He wasn't just going to go out there and try to be a rule breaker, just to be some sort of rebel rouser and create undue mayhem. That's not what it was. But the thing about it was he had such a relationship with God that when this ruling from the king came out that you're not going to be able to pray to your God, the only person you can honor for the next 30 days is me, Daniel was like, yeah, right. Yeah, you're not going to stop me from praying to God. So how did Daniel respond when he found out that King Darius had signed this decree? We find the answer to that in verses 10 and following, where it says, "And when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days." Daniel was one of those guys who went out and he prayed. He prayed three times a day. He would make that appointment with God in his little upper prayer room. It said that he went up and he opened the windows toward Jerusalem. He didn't change anything that he had done in the past. He continued to seek God. He continued to have that appointment with God three times a day where he would go up and meet him in prayer. Now verse 11 goes on to say, "Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before God," just like they knew they were going to, because they knew Daniel wasn't going to hold back on that. And then verse 12 says, "And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree." Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? And the king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the laws of the Medes and Persians, which do not alter. So what they did was they knew what Daniel was going to do. They went out and they became tattletales. They just waited and watched to see Daniel do what they knew he was going to do anyway. And then when they saw him doing that, they went to the king and they went, look at what Daniel's doing. Daniel's violating the law that you put forward. Okay. Now, yeah, when we think about this, over in just a few chapters before, over in Daniel chapter 3, we read of the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's in Daniel chapter 3, if you're taking notes and want to go back to that particular passage. And when we look at this, when we look at Daniel's response in our text today, it was very similar to that of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember what happened? They said, you know, if you don't turn away from your God, then essentially we're going to throw you into the fiery furnace. And, you know, their reaction and their response was, hey, so be it. I'm not going to turn my back on God. If God wants to, he can spare us from this fiery furnace. You know, it's all about his will. If not, so be it. We'll be with God. But I am not going to bow to you, O king. I am not going to turn away from my God. So it's a very similar situation going on in Daniel chapter 3 with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as it is with Daniel in chapter 6 in our text for today. Now, one of the things that I've always said to you as we've done our Bible studies are, what are some things or some examples that we see within our text that we're studying? What are some examples that we can follow? Man, I'll tell you one thing. Here's a big one right here. You know, the world does not like God. The world does not like Christians, and the world does not like godly things. And every day they're trying to come up with new things to essentially stop, slow down, halt, put barriers in the way of not only Christianity, but people who follow Christ, you know. And what happens is persecution is becoming more and more prevalent, even in the United States, in our society. It's not like it is in many places overseas, but yet there's going to be a cost for following the Lord. Now, As we consider what are some examples to follow in our story, Daniel's a phenomenal example to follow. Now, like I said, I'm not sitting here saying that we need to go out and just willfully shatter laws and those sort of things. No, the Lord tells us that as, you know, we're to follow the laws until they violate or until they try to supersede what God would have for us to do and what God's laws and rulings and edicts for each and every one of us would be. So when it comes down to the choice between the two, you choose to follow God's law over man's law. And Daniel was a phenomenal example for us to follow. As we read this story, he is, not just was, he is a phenomenal example for us to follow. One of the things that we also have to understand is that when we have godly courage, that godly courage is going to strengthen our witness with the people that we come in contact with. They begin to know and understand that it's not just something that spirituality and Christianity is not just something we do on Sunday when we show up at church. They see that it has permeated our life and that it has changed everything about us, that we are walking with the Lord, that we are talking with the Lord, and subsequently our life reflects that we are doing so. So, you know, when we have godly courage to stand for what's right, it is going to strengthen our witness to those that are around us, those that are in our sphere of influence, and those who see us. Now, all of a sudden we find out through our text that the king was upset when he found out that it was Daniel. Now, he wasn't upset at Daniel. He was upset at himself because he made that law, because he liked Daniel. He knew Daniel hadn't done anything wrong. And he called him, you know, he called him in, talked to him just like he should. But then I can almost imagine, you know, what that modern day conversation must have been like. I mean, if it would have happened today, it would have probably been like, man, look, you know, you've kind of put me in a bad spot, Daniel. I made this decree. Man, I like you. I don't want to have to do this. But the fact is, we made this rule that if you violate it, then you're going to get thrown into the lion's den. And I can't go back against that because it deals with the laws of the Medes and Persians. I can't change what I have put out there. Okay. And this actually bothered Darius. It said that he had a sleepless night. It said that he fasted. He didn't want to have any of the musicians there to calm him and soothe him. It said he had a sleepless night, as Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. In verses 14 through 23, we see where that happened and where that took place. Now, remember, we're kind of making a little bit of a comparison here today with Daniel to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the difference between Daniel chapter 6, which is our text today with Daniel, and Daniel chapter 3, which is our text that concerns Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, in Daniel chapter 3, what happened to Daniel's friends, the three, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were cast into the fiery furnace? Well, the word tells us that they looked in and it said, did we not cast three in there? And then they said, the king said, well, I see four, and the fourth looks like, the Son of God. The Lord was with them. The Lord delivered them in the midst of that fiery furnace. Man, that's one of my favorite Bible stories, because it talks about when the king pulled Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of that fiery furnace that had been stoked up seven times hotter than normal. In fact, there were several of the guards that died when they were just trying to get Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the furnace. And it says that when the king pulled them out, it said there wasn't a hair on their head singed. It said the ropes that they were tied with essentially had burned off, but there were no burns on them. And it said they didn't even smell like smoke. Man, when God does something, he does it first class, doesn't he? Now think about the comparison. Over in our text for today in Daniel chapter 6, Daniel is thrown in to a lion's den. Now, I don't know about you, but in my life growing up, I had seen a painting in the past that actually showed Daniel, and it kind of shows him standing there with his kind of his hands behind his back, just in a casual way. And it shows him looking up like at the opening of the den, and it shows all these lions that are just laying around on the floor, not paying any attention whatsoever to the fact that he's there. I love the fact that the word says this, that God shut the mouth of the lions. Okay, what a great, great thing. So Darius, although he hated doing what he had to do based on the law that he made and created, had a sleepless night, probably worrying about what was taking place with Daniel. Remember what he said to him, though. He said, "If the God, the God that you serve is able to deliver you." And all night he waited and waited and waited, and the word tells us that he went down there early in the morning to see, what happened, and it says that he called out to Daniel. We pick that up in our text in actually verse 24. So let's go on down there in our text to verse 24. Where it says this, it says, and the king gave the command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel and cast them into the den of lions with their children and their wives, and the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones into pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. Now, I went a little bit further into the text. The king goes down, he finds Daniel, he brings Daniel out, he sees that God Almighty has been able to save him, and then what followed was that the king gave yet another command, which is what we just read in verse 24. He commanded that those who had made accusation against Daniel be brought to that lion's den and thrown into it. Now notice what it says. In verse 24 it says, and the king gave the command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel and cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And it says, and the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. In other words, those lions were waiting on them, jumped up, grabbed them, tore them into pieces, and broke their bones before their bodies ever hit the ground in the bottom of a lion's den. So don't tell me that the lions weren't hungry. Don't tell me that that's part of the reason that Daniel survived was because the lions had just had a big meal and didn't want anything. No, the reason Daniel survived is because God took care of him in the midst of the circumstances, in the midst of the situation, and he rewarded his courage to do the right thing. Now, folks, I've said this many times. The God that we serve today is the same God Daniel is serving in the text that we're reading right here. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And in the same way that he delivered Daniel, in the same way that he delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it's the same way that he will deliver you and I today when we stand with courage for what the Word of God says. When we stand and do the right thing, and people know that, we don't try to hide it. We are born-again Christian people, and the whole world should know that. That's what he calls us to be separate. Darius made a response when he saw that that Daniel was delivered, and that response was against those who had made the accusations against him. Now, think about this for a minute. In what ways do faith and courage go together? You know, you have to have faith. If you truly have faith and you have a good, strong faith, then the courage will be there. Now, remember what courage is. Courage doesn't mean a lack of fear. Courage means that you do what you're supposed to do, even in the face of the fear. You know, sometimes a little fear is actually good. Now, don't get crazy on me. I know that the Word tells us oftentimes, you know, fear not. We're not to be afraid because God is with us. But I think sometimes that little bit of fear is what keeps us on our toes. But you know what happens when you find yourself in those situations? When your faith is strong and when you're counting on God, then what happens is you find that your courage is where it ought to be as well. So faith and courage go hand in hand. Now, think about this. What are positive things that can happen when believers are persecuted for their faith? What are some positive things that can come out of that persecution? Remember what we've said. Everything that happens in your life happens for a reason. It happens for a purpose. If you find yourself in the midst of persecution right now, then what happens is God is trying to show you something. He's trying to show people around you something. He's trying to move you to a place where He wants you to be. There is not one shed tear that goes unnoticed by God the Father. So we need to look for the positive things that can happen when believers are persecuted for their faith. And it is important for us to live by that faith and courage today. Yeah, how the Word tells us, how will they know unless they hear? How will they know unless there's a preacher? Folks, when you live a godly life, your life in and of itself stands as a witness and stands as a testimony for who God is. But you know what? We got too many people that are wanting to play both sides against the middle. They want to have one foot on this side of the fence and one foot on the other side of the fence. And the Lord says something about that over in the book of Revelation. He said, I'd rather you be hot or cold. He said, I'd rather you be one way or the other. I'd rather you be on, I would prefer you to be on fire for me. But if you're not, I would almost prefer that you detest me, because at least I know where you stand. Remember what he said? I would that you be hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, he said, I will spew you out of my mouth. Listen, where are you today? Well, are you straddling the fence? Is your faith allowing your courage to be seen and allowing your faith in turn to be seen by those that are around us? It is extremely important for us today to live by the faith and the courage that God has placed within us. Now, how courageously are you living for God in your life right now, in this very moment? Are you being a courageous Christian, or have you allowed the thought of persecution or actual persecution keep you from being what God wants you to be? You know, if you were to face a similar situation as Daniel did, or as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did, how do you think that you would respond? You know, do you think that you would find yourself in the fiery furnace? Do you think you would find yourself in the lion's den? Or do you think that you would tuck tail and run? You know, do you think that the cowardice of self-preservation would take over? And yeah, that's a tough question. You know, for some of you, you may have sat back and said, you know, most of us would say, you know, I really don't know what I would do until the time happened. I would like to think this is what I would do. But folks, I want to tell you too, God also is going to give you peace, and He's going to give you grace to make the right decisions. We just need to trust Him. How do you think you would respond if you were placed in a situation such as Daniel or the three Hebrew children? I want you to consider that for the rest of this day. I want you to consider that as you go forward in life. What would God think of the decision that you would make in your reaction to being placed in a similar type of situation? You know, as you think about that, in what areas of your life do you need more faith and do you need more courage to follow the Lord in the fashion that He wants you to follow Him in? Well, you know what? We need to pray for one another. I've said this before, you know, prayer is communication with God. We need to lift one another up. And what we need to pray for is for one another each and every day to grow in our faith and to grow in our courage as we face the challenges of living for God in this world that hates him. And that's what we're going to do here in just a moment. But as we kind of wind down our Bible study for today, I want to go ahead and give you what your readings are for next week. Next week, we're going to be looking at Jonah chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4. And then we're going to look at Malachi chapter 3. So I'll give those all to you again. It's going to be Jonah chapters 1, 2, 3, and 4. And then Malachi chapter 3. And next week, we will discuss Jonah and the great fish, one of my favorite stories out of the book of Jonah, chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. Would you pray with me as we close out today? Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you right now, we're grateful and thankful for the fact that you never leave us nor forsake us. And Lord, that you have plans for our lives. Father, I pray that you will help us each and every one to grow in our faith and to grow in our courage as we face the challenges of living for you on a day-to-day basis in a world that detests you. Lord, help us to be able, when faced with the challenges, to be able to answer the test in the same way that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did, that we might be pleasing in your sight. So, Father, right now, give us grace, give us faith, give us strength, give us courage, as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, we want to thank you again for joining us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church. We're so glad that you chose to be here. As always, if you happen to be in the Oak Ridge, North Carolina area, we would love to have you join us at Central Baptist Church, 1715 Highway 68 North. And if there's ever anything whatsoever that we can do to be of assistance to you in any way, please don't hesitate to contact us. You can see our website there on the screen. We would love to be able to minister to you. May God bless you, and may he give you a great, great week as you serve him.